Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your fine success with 103.7 The Beat.
Coach, I know we had set up an agenda.
Yeah.
Talk about the stock market performance in 2020, and which is, I think, is, you know, extremely important for people that have 401ks, and 403bs, 457s, IRAs, to kind of, you know, understand what happened in 2020 to their investments for their retirement.
Yes.
But I also think that what took place today in our nation's capital deserves some commentary on our part. And hopefully, if we get time, we will, we can revisit the stock market. But I'm pretty sure our listening audience, if you got a TV or radio, have heard what took place today.
You can even go to YouTube and search it if you want to.
Right, yeah, it's going to be on YouTube and see what happens. You know, the main thing that happened today was the certification of the Electoral College.
That's right. Explain that process.
Okay, so the Electoral College is based on the population of a state. Okay, so the larger the state, the more electoral votes that they receive. And California, Texas, Florida, of course, New York are some of the larger states. They have more electoral votes. Biden received 260 electoral votes, and the votes come from basically the popular vote is how that's determined. So today was the formal certification of the Electoral College votes. They come in a box. The sitting vice president, who is Pence, basically opens the box, and then they go state by state awarding the electoral votes. So there's a certain group of Republicans that were going to try and stop that process, to say that, you know, we're going to decertify. Or sort of like the phone call that president made to the Secretary of State in Georgia, where he's saying, you know, to find these 11,480 votes so I can get those electoral votes out of Georgia. Well, of course, none of that ever happened. But technically, it's just a matter of formality, because the votes have already been counted. The Electoral College votes have already been certified. And it's a matter of formality to say today in front of the House and the Senate that, based on the Electoral College, Joe Biden is the winner of the 2020 presidential election. And at that point, they leave the room, go about their business. But unfortunately, the sitting president wanted Mike Pence to get up and basically say that this process was not going to take place. Well, he can't do that. There's a parliamentarian individual who knows everything about the constitutional law when it comes to certifying elections. And his role is to make sure that everything is done via parliamentary procedure. So even if Pence wanted to get up and say that those votes that are in that box, we're not going to count those towards the Electoral College, he can't do that, because it's already been done. It's a done deal. But to throw fuel on the fire, he decided to have a rally, Eclipse rally, down on the Mall, okay? And which all his supporters showed up in the thousands to support him, listen to his rhetoric, where he continued to talk about the elections being rigged and they were stolen, got them riled up, and then told them to go down to the Capitol building to show their displeasure, which is down the street. If you've ever been to Washington, you know, it's probably about a quarter of a mile, half mile at the most, to the Capitol. Inside the Capitol is where that process was taking place to certify the Electoral College. And each senator get up and have a speech. You get 5 minutes to talk. Mitch McConnell had his 5 minutes, who is the majority leader of the House, because the Republicans had more
so he senators. Got a lead, don't he?
No, he will become the minority leader now.
Not lead, but like, you know.
that position no longer hold, he won't hold that. Chuck Schumer will have that position now. Chuck Schumer will.
Change of power.
Yeah, because with the Georgia election, unless something happens there that we don't see, those two seats that were open are going to go to the Democrats.
So then now you got to change the power of the person that's the majority.
Right, the majority. So how it works is...
he's the voice for everybody.
For that Democratic Party.
That's right.
For the most part. So how it works is, if you got 50 senators that are Republican, you got 50 Democrats that are Republicans, I mean, excuse me, 50 Democrats that are senators, and there's an issue that's a stalemate, the vice president who presides over the Senate
has
the deciding vote, which is Kamala Harris. So therefore, that tells you automatically the majority goes to the Democrats. Okay? So all this stuff has just been inside of the president, and he just unleashed it today. But get back to Mitch McConnell, which he basically said that he has supported Donald Trump over his 4-year terms. And we all know that, all through the craziness. But he got up today and said that at this point he cannot do that anymore because it's a total violation of the Constitution. They have gone to local courts, state courts, Supreme Court, talking about the election, the fraud being rigged. And he also mentioned the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States, who he has appointed 3 members to, somewhat very conservative, also agreed that none of that happened. Okay, there was no fraud, no widespread voter rigging, and they threw it out. And he just said at that point, we need to move forward as a country, Joe Biden as our president, and get moving on forward, taking care of this country. We got a lot of issues we got to take care of versus him still hollering about how the election was stolen. And he's got these people all riled up to the point where they actually stormed and have basically taken over the Capitol building.
I'm going to say this. Would you say it's crazy or is just it is what it is?
It's crazy. It's crazy for the simple reason that everybody has the right to protest, right? We all know that. In this country, you get the right to protest in a nonviolent way. But these guys, man, have actually, broken windows, actually stormed into the Capitol building.
They're scaling the wall like they
ninja warriors, man.
Like they in Berlin, like they finna break down the wall in the 80s or something. It looked crazy.
And you named it, you got it, like third world country, where we see an uprising of the people that are, have tired of the tyranny and the political rhetoric that has, forced them to make these kinds of decisions. For some reason, this guy have got these people so stirred up that they're willing to basically risk their lives for the simple reason that they could have actually been shot when they entered these buildings. And there are pictures on CNN where the Secret Service has actually barricaded into one of the chambers with the windows busted with a standoff. There are pictures of these people sitting in the House chamber in the seat that normally the vice president would sit in along with the Speaker of the House. And they basically have taken it over. So I don't know where they are at this point. The vice president, Schumer was there, Nancy Pelosi, there was a limited amount of senators because of COVID, but they have not left the building.
I wouldn't leave.
They're supposed to shelter in place. So they also called in all kinds of other police from around other surrounding areas. And the point I'm trying to figure out is why? Why did they not take this serious, man, when they knew that all these people were coming to Washington, D.C. for this rally that Trump had, and ultimately he was going to stir them up
Regardless.
Yeah. And I thought they would just go down and stand in front of the Capitol to basically show their displeasure in the process.
Like, the funny part to me that led to this is, like, it was a crazy week of events. So, like, I hit a phone call. It was like a phone call like Nixon made or something.
Oh, that phone call.
Yeah, he was like, hey, Secretary of State, I need 11,000 votes. Like, he was making an order, a piece of order.
Right.
I need to have 11,000 votes. 11,158 and 1. You know, I need that.
Yep.
I need, he called.
You know how many times he called him prior to that? 18. He called the Secretary of State of Georgia 18 times before he would take his phone call. Because he knew what the nature of that phone call was. Okay? It was no different than... Who was the other individual that made a phone call?
Did he know he was going to be on a recorded line?
That I don't know.
He need to take did he listen to anything what George Bush told him? George Bush.
Ronald Reagan? The tapes? The Nixon tapes?
Yeah.
Okay.
George Bush said, I'll never use a landline. I don't use no phone, nothing. I don't use email. If I can't talk to you.
Well, the guy had his lawyer there, of course. Yeah. So he wanted to make sure that
anything. Because they know they was going to mess his life up.
Yeah.
If you don't do what he tells you, don't tell him something that, hey, I'm going to destroy your life if you don't do what he tells you to do.
Yeah. You know, some people have fashioned it as a mob boss type of a call.
That's what it was. Like, you calling, requesting, like, 11,000 votes. Like,
yeah.
Does that look like a stroke of a pencil or a pen to you?
He told him you could recalculate it. Yeah. He said, we did a recalculation, and we found the 11,480 votes that you needed. That's what he wanted him to say. But the guy told him, and he's a Republican now.
He
right?
kept on telling him.
Yeah, the Secretary of State Georgia is a Republican. And he said, you know, all the machines have been certified. We counted votes 3 times. We did a hand count of votes in the state of Georgia 3 times. And each time, the results were the same. You didn't win. The equipment has been calibrated, been tested. Nothing is wrong with the equipment. So what you're asking me to do is impossible. I can't do that. He spun it on my guy and said, well, you know what you're saying is it's a crime. This is what the president is saying to the Secretary of State of Georgia. It's a crime is what you're doing.
He's flipping the crime on him.
Yeah.
Like he's doing it.
Yeah. Because you're not giving me what I want.
So basically, I'm going to tell you what I want.
Right.
And that's the law.
That's it. I'm the law.
Smokey, you know. Where my money at? Remember Friday? And Smokey pulled the money out. And he had $100 and he counted it. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. He turned it over. He wants somebody to be like that.
Yeah.
Make it more than what it is.
Yep.
Make it more. Make it more than what it is.
Crazy, man.
And look, we elected him. We put him in a position because we a country.
Right. If you didn't vote for him, it don't matter.
We are a country. We put him in there.
He's still the president of the United States.
Yep. We put him in there. So it's like, imagine the mindset of other countries looking at us right now. They're like, that's what y'all can do? That's what y'all do after having a president for 8 years? You put somebody in like that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it reminds me of watching, you know, like the BBC News or some of these other news that covers the world in more of a global aspect than we do, where they do have like Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, these countries where you have dictators and the people, the masses just uprise and, you know, just try to take over the government.
Look, I'm gonna relate this to our, because we talk about sports, I'm gonna relate this to like where everybody in our city that's listeners can understand this. Like if you went into sports world. So imagine, Tony, you a coach, either high school level, college level, wherever, right? And you coaching the team, and you got this player, and you telling him, like, look, man, you ain't ready, man. You're not ready. You're not ready. So you put him in the game. And you tell him, like, look, all right, you got about 2 turnovers. I'm gonna let you play, right? So as soon as you get in, you make it 2.
Get it 2.
You be like,
right
you
off
looking,
the bat.
And then the other coach is telling you, like, no, leave him in. He make 2 more again. Okay. Go file somebody. Go keep, and you like, and you keep on leaving it in. That's what we've done in this country. It's like, I like the kid. I like him. I like him. He's a good person. He cool.
Yeah.
Like with Trump, I'm coming from the hip hop era because I'm a '90s hip hop kid.
Okay.
Trump coolest fan in the ring with Mike Tyson. No Muhammad Ali. You know.
Right.
Wu-Tang Clan rapping about him. I got money like Donald Trump. I'm at Donald Trump's party. All that era, that late '80s, early '90s. Trump was like the man. He was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, he running for president. It's a money guy. I like how
he had a brand. He had a brand.
So then as it kept on going, like, oh, how he getting his money? Oh, he really lied, Chauncey. He got 2 books. He got a lot of privilege. He $750,000 or I owe him and I don't owe him. And he's doing it. So like I'm going, I'm like, oh, the play keep on running. I keep on letting him play.
Yeah.
So then now he threatening lives of people.
Yeah, right? Or you sitting there, you got a guy sitting at the scorer's table ready to go in, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he look over there and wave the guy off.
Wave him off. Like, I ain't coming out. Come on.
No, I ain't coming out.
No, nah, coach.
So how you going to make him come out?
I got this, coach. I got this. Game over. Look, the scope. The time is up.
Make him leave. How you make him come off the floor? I want to know that.
We can't. We've been taking him the whole game. Yeah. We've been sending him texts. We gave him penalties. He's still like, hey, man, you can't take me out.
Yeah, he foul out the game and won't leave the floor. You got 5 fouls, dog. You got to go.
Man, so that's my example of, like, looking at this whole scenario. It's like, he think he still got playing time, and nobody, the game is over. He ain't got no court to play on.
Nothing.
Nobody want to play with him no more.
No.
But he got some fans.
He got some fans. He got what they call them ride or die fans.
That's right.
Yeah.
He got ride those fans. Ride or die.
He got them, man.
Now, my next question is, and we talk about this all the time. What's the mindset of somebody that support him now? Because, like, my mindset was like, oh, Trump cool. He doing this. But then as I started discovering, like, what he did with the New York Five, with those five brothers taking out that pay. So, like, him becoming the president exposed a lot to me where, like, I don't have no love for you.
No.
He showed me the true colors.
In the history, you got to understand the history. You know, they wouldn't, you know, like, him and his dad were big landlords in the New York area. They wouldn't rent
slum
the blacks.
Slumlords. Yes, sir.
Okay. Even if it was slum, they didn't want blacks. They wanted you had to be Irish, Italian, you know, whatever. But when it came to black folks,
they had nothing
for them, man. And they got sued. The federal government actually sued.
And paid. He was like, Trump. I'm going to pay that. I keep on paying that to keep them people out of my building.
Yep. That's what happened, man. And he got a history of this. But you're right. I like the question you asked about what is the mindset of a supporter of this guy. I listened to the rhetoric at the on the mall, and it was just lie after lie after lie. It weren't even half truths, right? Sometimes you know they ask about what's a white lie. A white lie might have a little bit of the truth, right? This had none of it, man.
None of it.
But do you think that anybody in that crowd questioned what he said? If he said it, it has to be true.
Now, I got it. Here go the mindset of somebody like that. I'm going to say this. Somewhere. The mindset of somebody like this, and these are not the radio's views. This is my views. Of somebody like that is, I'm going to make America great again, and I'm trying to get back to pushing the reset button so I can have whatever little crumbs I had at Trump's table, whatever little benefits I had, and I'm going to make sure you don't even get a crumb of what I got. You don't even get a corner of what I got. If you don't look like me, if you don't live in my community, I'm not going to share with you anything. And that's what I see. Those people that are supporting him, they like, we got to get what we got to get our stuff back and not give everybody else nothing.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going to give him credit for being able to, you know, control people's minds because he used a lot of code words,
He cold.
A lot of cold words. You know, when you say make America great again, trust me, there's an underlining meaning to what he is saying, okay? The first thing the leader of the Proud Boys did when they got to Washington, D.C. the other day, there was a banner of Black Lives Matter. He got arrested because he burned that flag, okay?
Yes.
And that's what he stands for. And those people today were those people that don't want America to be diverse. They don't want equality in America. They don't want all the things that we talk about as citizens that we are entitled to as Americans. They don't want that. They want to be the chosen race of individuals privileged, and they're first in line for everything.
Yep, the first in line for everything. And then if you get some, how you get that?
Yeah. So they sit at home this summer. A lot of them watch the demonstrations of the Black Lives Matter. This is their response. Today was the culmination of what they went through over the summer. The frustration, the hatred, it all exploded today in Washington, D.C. at the beck and call of Donald Trump. He once never told them not to go down and wreak havoc in the Capitol building. He basically told them that's where they need to go, and I will meet you there. Well, of course, he didn't. He went back to the White House and sent out some tweets, but never denouncing the behavior that was demonstrated by the followers of Donald Trump. The bottom line is, this is about racism. Don't get it twisted.
Yep, it's about racism.
It's not about politics. Politics is just window dressing. Okay? Because there are some Republicans that truly believe this, that don't condone his actions. All right? They have a political stance, and everybody's entitled to that.
I mean, it's to the point, like, you know, America is one of these places where institutional racism is real. Right?
I've seen it. I've felt it. Been there, done that.
I've felt it. I've been there, even whether it's done on paper. Most times it's been done on paper for me.
Okay. Like
somebody won't tell me the cheat code or whatever they doing to a certain situation where I wouldn't know because I'm not into some type of circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how America works. And it's almost to the point like it's like a hierarchy with the Pharaoh lying to the people.
Okay.
That's what it is.
I like that analogy.
It's like the Pharaoh like, yeah.
Yeah.
Go build this temple for me.
Yep.
Go mine all this gold because you're going to build me a shrine to this MAGA.
Yeah. And
he made a MAGA pyramid. That's what he did. He built a MAGA pyramid in the world.
And when they tried to follow the Israelites across the Red Sea and it parted and God closed the Red Sea up and drowned all his people, he was nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
Okay.
But he got so many times he's being denied now. So it's like all the times you had the power, he was like, shut up, you fired. I'm firing you. I'm like, how are you firing national security people and all these? You fired. So now you fired.
You fired. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's his theme with his little think tank or Shark Tank show he got. You fired.
And his sister-in-law, no, his niece.
Yeah, his niece.
His niece.
She said he crazy.
Clinical psychologist.
Yep, she said he crazy.
Crazy. She said his dad raised them.
To be crazy.
If you lose at anything.
You ain't part of this family.
You a failure.
Yep.
You are a total loser.
The granddaddy too, it was just like that.
Yeah, the granddaddy too. Yeah. So this has been ingrained in him.
He a traumatized person.
He is. He can't accept this, is what it is. And it's delusional.
You think he'll be suicidal?
It might be.
You might catch him at 7-Eleven doing something crazy. The Slurpee fountain. And the gas station trying to make it happen.
You know, we got to see what happens on January 20th, right?
Yeah.
He got to move.
He got to move.
He got to get up out the White
House. He going to squat, you think?
Well, just like, you know, them folks, man, they might show up on the 20th and surround the Capitol building to keep him from getting him out of there. I don't know. But I got a sneaky feeling this is not over by any stretch of the imagination. He's not done. He's got 2 weeks. Today is the 6th. We got to the 20th. 2 weeks from today.
Here you go. I'm going to say this. We don't know how Obama got up in there. And we don't know how we're going to get Trump out of there.
Right.
One snuck in there. And the other one, we got to figure out how to throw out.
You know, and McConnell made another point today. He said that in 2016, he said that race was closer than this race with Biden.
Yeah.
2012, I think he went back to when it was the Gore-Bush.
Yeah.
Gore-Bush election, when it was really tight. Okay.
And the Electoral College showed out, and Bush was right. He was like, look, Bush wasn't even frustrated. Like, I won. I'm telling y'all, everybody was mad Bush cheated. No, he didn't. Yeah. He understood the system.
Never this rhetoric about.
Yep.
You know, mass cheating. And, you know, he attacked.
Al Gore knew.
Yeah, he knew. He knew what it was all about, man.
It's like, you popular,
you
brother. Go ahead and be popular. You popular. One of these votes that count.
Man, as a politician, that happens, right?
That's a game you understand and you know.
You win, you lose. As a politician, you don't win every time.
You got little kid stuff trying to win every time.
Okay, it just don't happen that way, man. And
you need to play sports.
Right. Well, you know, he'd never been any kind of an athlete probably at anything.
He even bailed out on the Army, didn't he, or something?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, he bailed out on the Army. They said he had some people taking his test in college. I don't even know if he really got a degree or not. You know, but it's really a sad day in America, man. I know there's, you know, countries like Canada, sovereign nation, who basically have the same kinds of government that we do. And when the winner is determined, the loser acknowledges that and move on. But unfortunately, that won't take place in this country. No, and it's sad.
It's like, man.
So I just, you know, I just hope that come the 20th that it's no more of this madness. So, but I don't know. How much time we got, Coach?
We got like 5 minutes, man. Okay. I want to just share some things.
Yeah, I got to do one thing before we move on. There's one person in my life that's near and dear to me that got an opportunity to be the head coach.
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that. You know, it's my boy, too.
In Northern Illinois. Talked to him over the weekend.
Yes, sir.
About the opportunity. And it was like, you know, I gave him the Godfather view of it. Okay? I mean, him and Monty was, you know, Monty brought him on. Monty took care of him, treated him right.
Promoted him.
But in basketball, right. You know, he promoted him. It's sort of like in orchestra, you know, everybody's first chair, second chair, third chair. So the same thing in basketball.
That's right.
Right? You're number one, number two assistant. And, you know, Monty gave him that opportunity to be his assistant. And then, you know, when they fired him, they let him, you know, they moved him to the interim head coach. But that's going to happen in that business because, like I said in The Godfather, this is the business we have chosen. And when you do that, then you got to accept these kinds of happenings because if he is named the head coach at Northern Illinois at some point in time, he'll probably get fired, right? It happens in sports. Very rarely do you see guys.
And Monty's career not over either.
Oh, no.
He's going to pop up somewhere else. He got that good resume.
Somebody will pick him up. You know, there's a fraternity of coaches. You know, he may not get the head coach right away.
He in his own circle, so he's going to always pop up.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get a job somewhere. Yep. You're absolutely right. And that's what it's all about, right? So he may not be the head coach where he goes at that point, but at some time he may get
NBA all the time. Bernie Bickerstaff on somebody's staff right now.
Yeah, yeah.
All them guys. Alvin Gentry, he always pop up.
He's right.
Alvin Gentry, I saw him the other night with Washington or somebody.
Who the guy that was the Houston's coach before he got fired?
Stan Van Gundy. He's with the Pelicans. Back.
And, I mean, he's going to get taken care of.
Yep. Doc Rivers, look, he got two in 3 days.
Doc
Rivers. We fired. Oh, I'm hired now.
Yeah. Lou.
Now I'm the number one team in the East.
Yep. And go make some noise.
Yep.
You know,
Lou.
Lou, he's at the Clippers. So, yeah, these guys are going to take care of him. Yep. You know, he's going to be all right. Yep. But, you know, like I say, you know, you're going to get fired.
Yeah, hey, I mean, look at it. You see, I always look at things like happenstance. When Lamar came to Muskegon, he was working recreation and parks, building stuff for us to do at night, making sure the courts are straight. We had a league going on. He put basketball back on the map, the summer league, with the help of a lot of other people. But we was doing our thing. People from other towns was playing against us. And the high school league looked pretty good. And then our coach, Coach Gilbert, ended up leaving Hikes.
Okay.
Lamar stepped right in, performed great in those 2 years. So now, and he served his role with Coach Gilbert.
Yep.
So the predecessor is coming in. So now you in a situation, you know, and I'm going to share something with you. I watched Rutgers play. Then I watched Northern Illinois that same night. And I said this to one of my friends. I was talking to him because we share mutual friends. And he was like, Didn't Lamar supposed to go to Rutgers? I said, yeah, but I don't know why that coach did him like that.
Right.
But I say, that team looked like a Hikes team. Rutgers do. Mm-hmm. They got blew out by Michigan State.
We
ran through them the other night.
Yeah.
But they look real good. They got the fight in them. Everybody got dribble, drive, and shoot. And I said, that looked like something like Bird would put together.
Mm-hmm.
So then I watched Northern Illinois. I was like, hold on. They got some of the same players, but it looked kind of like they just helped the skeleton right now.
They did.
They look like a team that's trying to find their way.
Yeah, I watched them play last night, and they've only won one game. That was Chicago State,
who,
you know, was really irrelevant.
Yep, lower level one.
And they've shut their program down. They're not even playing now. And I went back and looked at his record, and they were getting beat, you know, 20, 30, 40 points every game.
Yeah, I saw the Iowa game. It was a mess.
Okay. Last night, the odds maker said
Miami, Ohio.
He played Ohio Bobcats.
Yeah, Bobcats.
Ohio Bobcats. That they were going to lose by 15. That was the line on the game, right? And they were in it. They lost by 2 points.
I don't even bet. I'm looking. No. If I was a bet man, anybody, I'm telling you, I'm betting on Lamar Chapman. I'm telling you that.
He's going to put a stamp on it.
Because he's going to say things and do things, or them kids going to start hooping. And I'm telling you, they got how many games they got left? 15?
Should be something like 15. Then he got the MAC tournament.
All he
got
to do is
have it down in Cleveland.
If Lamar win 8 games, he going to be the head coach.
Yeah.
That's my magic number, 8. I think he can pull it off.
Based on the conversation that I've had with him in the past about where he's at, one thing that really bugged him more than anything was the lack of discipline that was in the program. And I'm pretty sure he had that come to Jesus meeting.
With them.
It's that whatever you did in the past, it's in the past. But from this day forward, we're going to do things differently.
Yep.
And I think last night was the start of that because, you know, they played a good game. They were down by 11 points, but they didn't give up. And they came back. And like I said, they had the last shot.
Yep. That's his signature right there.
They had the last shot.
That's Lamar.
And I talked to him after the game. He was like, you know, I don't believe in moral victories.
But I'll take this
one. But I told the guys, I'm proud of the way you fought back. There were times when we gave up. So I think he's in a good spot. And if he does not get the job, then, you know, whoever gets it, I hope they keep him. But if not, again, he'll find somewhere. He'll land somewhere. Yeah, if he built a good – he got a good resume in college basketball. You know, he went to – he was at Central Michigan, been down to Toledo. You know, went out to Stony Brook. Now he's over here at Northern Illinois.
Everywhere they won. Everywhere he been, they won.
They won.
Like last year, they won the West Championship. That was going to go on to the tournament and do some things.
Yep. So he got a good – like I said, he got a good resume. Yeah. So he's going to be all right, man, either way.
But I was just going to expound on the sports thing. We got Cam playing in the – championship. I mean, he hanging out.
Yeah.
But who else want to say?
He on the team.
Yes. Shoot.
Okay.
It's people around here that they ain't been to Ohio State to school. They talking about they Ohio State fans.
Right.
So he on the team. He's a two-time Mr. Football. So
yeah, big
he had good company.
Big last year was on LSU.
Muskegon again.
Who won the championship? So he got a ring.
Then a slew of our kids in bowl games last year.
Yeah.
So it's like, look at that. And then what I want to say is on the girls' tip,
got to talk about that.
You got the two girls that's at State from Muskegon,
yep.
Liza and Dreka.
Playing very well.
Then you got Jordy from Shores. Then you got the other girls from Reese Puffer. Then you got the other girl from Toledo, Sophie. So it's like Lauren Johnson. You got all the – it's about 5 kids from this area that's Division I.
That's playing Division I basketball,
you
football,
can't beat
man.
That. They played against each other.
Okay. That's great, man.
Man, that's
absolutely awesome. Putting us on the map, right?
And then, like you say, Lamar, and that's national news. All those people.
Yeah. Yep. CNN, you know, I mean, they did ESPN, all of them did a story on the firing. Okay, yep. The news was the firing, and it's a part of that being
it's a big name. Monty, a big name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he played State, and like you say, you know.
He's part of those Final Fours.
Yep. And trust me, when those jobs open up.
He was Tom Izzo's number one guy.
And Izzo make the phone call to the athletic director at Northern Illinois and said, that's the guy you should hire for the job. That's 99% done.
Yeah. They
okay.
They take that recommendation.
Yeah. Yeah. Calipari, you know, Boeheim, Successfee down in Duke. When those guys make phone calls, you get jobs, man. It's that simple. So we wish him nothing but the best. Big Reds play Saturday in its crazy, crazy high school football year. We hope they can win and move on to the next level so we can get football out the way and so we can start basketball. And looking forward to somewhat getting back to normal in our sports atmosphere in this town.
Yes, sir. You're right. So, man, it's big things going on. I mean, be safe out there because you don't know.
Yeah, COVID's still raging, man. COVID's still raging, and hopefully some point in time we can start talking about people getting ready for this new year and, you know, the stimulus money that's coming, what you want to do with it. So hopefully next week we can talk a little bit more in depth about finances, stock market, $600, or it might be more coming. We don't know. That talk is still in the air as far as increasing that to 2,000. So we'll see.
Yep, exactly. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.